Are you holding it all together, but suspect things may be falling apart?
Are you faking fine?
Important questions, and we are going to be tackling them today. This is your host, Mark Masri, and Lara Watson on the Huntley Street Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today, folks. And we're going to be covering off on some pretty important subject matter. You have an amazing guest today, Lara, that's going to help us dig into this area of our lives that we all deal with and struggle at one point or another.
Yes, I can think of times in my life where I faked fine. And we've got Deborah Folletta with us today. She's a licensed counselor, but not only does she have this great book, Are You Really Okay, with practical steps to help us work through when we are faking fine and what could be happening in our lives at that stage and the dangers of faking fine. She has also experienced this in her own life, where she hit a wall and had been going along and acting like everything was okay, but actually underneath she was struggling with some really significant PTSD, and it was manifesting in different ways.
Yeah, it's not just theoretical with Deborah.
No.
She has experienced it herself, and she's lived out and practiced these principles. Such an important conversation for us all to have. It doesn't matter how you're wired or whether you think you're a high-stress person or a low-stress person or you deal with anxiety or you do not. We are all going to be faced with similar stressors throughout life, and we need to know how to respond to those things. And she's going to be talking about some real cool things where we talk about our compartmentalization of spirituality, emotional health, mental health. So much good conversation to come. Why don't we go to that interview now with Lara and Deborah Folletta?
Feeling stuck or depleted, emotionally raw inside, tired of faking fine, drawing on her own personal experiences, science, psychology, and faith, professional counselor Deborah Folletta, author of Are You Really Okay, joins us now to talk about why it's okay to not be okay and the steps we can take to find our well-being again. Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Deborah. We are so happy to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You know, I've really enjoyed reading your book, and there's been so many realizations for me within it. But one of the things that struck me right at the start was, you speaking about, as a professional counselor, something you've noticed, that it's a lot of people who go to church and Christians who fall into the trap of faking fine. Why do you think that's the case? Because it's a very painful place to be.
Yeah, you know, I think we are under the assumption that just because we're Christians, we're going to be healthy, but that's not always the case. And we don't make that same assumption when it comes to our physical health. You know, we don't assume that when we become a Christian, all of a sudden our cholesterol levels are going to be just right, our BMI and our blood pressure is going to be just right. But we make that assumption with our mental and emotional health. And instead of doing the work that it takes to become emotionally and mentally healthy.
Yes. And, you know, part of that work begins with being introspective. And, you know, you have an interesting statement in the book, which really struck me. And it's a quote. It says, you know, what concerns me most are not the people who see their need for change, but the people that don't. And why is it important to try to see our need, even if, and how do we start to see our need? How do we start to get in touch with that?
You know, the Bible says that the purposes of a person's heart are like deep waters, and one who has insight draws them out. And I want people to understand that having insight is a process. It's something that requires us to be intentional. You know, back in the days of scripture, in order to draw out the water, you didn't just turn on a faucet and the water flowed. You would have to go to the well and put your bucket down. And it was this active process. And really, that's what it comes down to for us, is learning to go underneath the surface and do that hard work. I think sometimes it's easier just to stay on that superficial level. Not only that, but social media has kind of wired us to do that. When you look on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we kind of present this superficial glimpse of who we are. When we run into somebody in the store and they ask us how we're doing, we're good, I'm fine. We have these kind of simple answers, and we fail to really dig deep and question how we're doing and pursue that next level of healing for our lives.
Yes, we do. And, you know, you talk a lot at the start of your book, and it's a theme throughout, of course it is, about becoming emotionally
aware. And I think that's what you're pointing to right now. But how do we do this? How do we become more emotionally aware?
Well, human beings are kind of like volcanoes. And what's happening is that all of our emotional experiences are building pressure underneath the surface. And I think sometimes we just assume it's the negative emotional experiences, but it's also positive things. You know, when, as a counselor, when we assess someone's stress level using this particular stress scale, having a wedding and going through a divorce can bring on the same level of stress. So it's just a reminder to us that even good things can elicit emotions underneath the surface. And if we don't acknowledge the stress, the emotions, the grief, the insecurities, the fears that we're going through underneath the surface, what ends up happening is they build pressure. And just like a volcano, what will eventually happen is that our emotions will come out at the point of least resistance and cause an emotional explosion. For some people, it might look like a panic attack or anxiety or depression, maybe anger issues or relationship problems. But if we don't deal with those emotions, if we don't understand them and learn to express them in a healthy way, they're going to end up impacting us.
Yes, they are. And Deborah, you speak of this from the perspective of a licensed professional counselor who's very experienced, but you also speak of this from the perspective of someone, in your own words, who has experienced life-altering depression, anxiety, and physical health issues. Can you share a little bit with us about your journey to realizing you were at a crisis point and your journey out of that into healing?
Yeah. You know, like you said, it's my job to work with people who are struggling emotionally and mentally. But the passion didn't really hit home for me until I went through it myself. I went through a traumatic miscarriage a few years ago. I went in for a routine checkup, and during that appointment, I found out that I had lost the baby. And then a few minutes later, I had a very intense reaction of hemorrhaging. And, you know, I was bleeding so much that I almost lost my life. I had to be rushed into emergency surgery. And then you recover from that. You go home, you live your life. I've got four kids, and you kind of just live your life. You kind of just go through the routine without taking the time to really acknowledge what happened and heal on a deep level. And, you know, what happens when we go through trauma, it doesn't have to be a miscarriage, it can be any sort of trauma, is that usually the trauma doesn't begin to impact us until we are in a safe place. Because in the beginning, we're in survival mode. If you think about a soldier who goes off to war, it's not during the battle that they experience post-traumatic stress. It's when they get home and life is safe and secure. And that happened with me a few years later when life was safe and secure. I started feeling the effects of that trauma in the form of panic attacks.
And you had to face those panic attacks. Now, you were really having moments of being triggered. And it's interesting in your book when you talk about being triggered or people having flashbacks. You say it's not necessarily that you aren't progressing. It's an invitation to greater healing. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, healing happens in layers. I think sometimes as Christians, we assume that it's just one next step after the next, after the next. But that's not possible. That's not a healthy expectation of healing. Real healing is cyclical, little by little, sometimes a few steps forward, sometimes a few steps back, and it happens in layers. And that's what people have to understand when you're experiencing flashbacks, for example. That's a sign that your body is at a healthier place. It's time to heal the next layer. You shouldn't be discouraged or feel like you've gone backwards, but you should be filled with hope that God is longing to take you to that next level of healing. And so I think our perspective about healing can really impact us, or it can hold us back.
Yes. And Deborah, what's interesting about your approach is, yes, you know, you point out the emotional health that we need, the mental health that we need, the physical health that we need to encourage healing in our lives, but also that big component of spiritual healing that we need, that connection to God. Can you tell us a little bit about how a connection to God can help us face the traumas in our lives and come out the other side with a new story?
Yeah. You know, when we look at scripture, Jesus calls us to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when I wrote, Are You Really Okay? I felt like it was very important to tackle those areas independently. Heart represents our emotional health, soul, our spiritual health, mind, our mental health, and strength, our physical health. Because human beings are holistic, and God wants us to love him in a holistic way. So even spiritually speaking, you know, when we are moving in God's direction, that's part of healing. And when I talk about spiritual healing in the book, I'm not just talking about that checklist of reading my Bible, praying, going to church, because we can do that spiritual checklist and still not be spiritually healthy. Spiritual health is more of the condition of our heart and our view of God, the why behind what we do. You know, what is our motivation? Are we moving towards God out of our knowing his kindness and love? Or are we moving towards God and doing our spiritual checklist out of fear and shame and guilt? Because what we believe about God impacts our relationship with God. What we believe about God impacts our relationship with ourself. And so a lot of this spiritual health really has to do with unpacking our beliefs and comparing them, holding them up to the light of God's word and God's truth versus our past experiences. Maybe those past relationships that have shaped our view of God in an unhealthy way. And all of these things help us see life through the filter of God's truth.
Oh, they certainly do, Deborah. You know, one of the most powerful parts of your book here where you talk about love alone is the gauge. I love that statement. You know, it's, are we moving in love? But as Christians, yes, we understand that spiritual realm. We don't know if we're spiritually healthy all the time. We have to check in. What's our view of God and self? But we also have to check in with our mental health, our emotional health, our physical health. Why do we tend to dichotomize that from our spirituality?
I think we definitely compartmentalize things. You know, when we look at our life with the Lord, we tend to look at it as just through a spiritual lens, forgetting that we are holistic people with different parts of us, and we need those different parts of us to align with who God has called us to be. And that's why it's important, like you said, to check in, to check up on how we're doing. We go to the doctor's office once a year to get physical checkups. But how often do we stop to do a checkup on how we're doing emotionally, how we're doing spiritually, how we're doing mentally? I think this needs to be a part of our experience. And when I wrote, Are You Really Okay? I thought it was significant to include questions for reflection at the end of each chapter, because this is a book that you don't just read. This is an interactive experience of learning to get healthy from the inside out, asking the hard questions, looking back at the things we need to deal with, the wounds of our past, in order to be free to worship God and love him heart, soul, mind, and strength in the present.
And, you know, Deborah, one last question here. The world has faced a pandemic, you know, and there is no one who hasn't been impacted by the trauma of this pandemic, that it has caused the loss, which is always connected to trauma. Our last year has been a year of so much pain, but you believe this next year can be a year of healing, and that's really on your heart. Tell us some of the first steps we can take to healing right now.
You know, the beautiful thing is that God can help us heal. You know, the phrase, time heals all wounds. Well, I don't believe that's true, because some wounds, when left to themselves, will only grow and get infected with time. Time can't heal all wounds, but Jesus can, and he can partner with us on this journey of healing. I really believe that 2020 was a year of exposure. It brought up some of our junk, but 2021 can be the year of healing if we'll be intentional in how we use this time, and if we'll take the time to pause and really get underneath the surface to begin bringing those things to the light of God's healing.
Oh, Deborah, those are good words. Healing is possible as we partner with God and take responsibility in different areas of our life and work on things. Deborah, we are so thankful that you are with us today and for your words of encouragement and inspiration. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You may be listening to Lara's conversation with Deborah and saying, am I really that stressed out? Do I deal with anxiety? Do I have unresolved issues, Lara? These are all the questions that are running through my mind. Do I have any unresolved trauma that hasn't been addressed? Deborah raises a very good question for us to ask ourselves. What does the love meter look like in us?
Absolutely. That is so interesting that she says this. And that love meter is, do I feel loved by God? Do I see God as a loving God, right? Because that perspective of who God is and what our perspective is can often tell where our mind is at, our emotions, our spirits. Then also, do I feel loving towards others? And here's the big one. Do I feel loving towards myself? Mm. And loving towards yourself is like, I embrace myself. I have self-care. I wholly accept who I am. I know that God loves me. We don't feel those ways, I think, sometimes towards God, others, or ourselves. We don't feel full of love when we're struggling with anxiety, depression, when PTSD is erupting. I mean, those are real strong pulls, and it pulls us away from that love connection with God. So love is the gauge, and is our life defined by that?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
That's beautiful. That love, you want love to be at the forefront of everything that we do, every one of our responses. And if we are plagued or struggling in any one of these other areas that we've covered off on this show, they preoccupy our time and our mental power so much so that we can't really focus on anything else. And we'll start to see other areas of our lives suffer. Relationships, our work sometimes. Our relationship with God, and it's not because he stopped pursuing us. It's because we've maybe kept him at arm's length because, like, to your point, maybe we don't feel like he loves us, right?
Yep. And interesting too, you know, you think about anxiety, you know, it's very fear-based, right? Like anxiety is fear of what's happened to you or fear of what could happen. And it actually, your body is going into fight or flight along with PTSD. So you think about how the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear.
Yeah.
So really neat, these connections she's making, right, between mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, biblical principles. I love what Deborah's pulling out here.
Yes.
And I think it's very true. The minute we're rooted in God's love, rooted in self-love, love of others, it's very hard to experience fear at that exact same time. But of course, we've got to do the work because our brains get into overdrive. They're, you know, we may need a counselor. We may need to go to a pastor. We may need to go to a friend we trust to really work through these issues. But Mark, you and I are really strong believers in finding safe people and safe places to share these deep feelings with.
You know, and she talked about in the top of her interview with you, you know, you may walk into church on a Sunday morning and the usher asks you, how are you doing? And you say, fine, even though you've had the worst week ever and you don't really want to get into it with the usher. And we're not saying that the first person you run into in church on a Sunday morning or whatever day of the week you go to church is the person that you should share with. There are definitely trusted relationships that you should feel comfortable and feel safe to you to open up when you're trying to work through some of these areas of your life. And ultimately, like you mentioned this already, Lara, great Christian trained counseling, professional counseling, understanding how to walk you through your emotional being and help bring that stuff to the surface so that you can face it head on and you know how to readdress it and put it in its rightful place and substitute those feelings, those emotions and feelings with things that are God-centered. You know, very much God-centric. So,
well, it's one of the reasons why I love Christian counseling in particular, because and I've experienced that kind of counseling before myself, but they give you these practical counseling, you know, principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Like really trying to work through anxiety. Is that a rational thought? Is it not? But then you've got this person who understands your faith walk, understands the difference the love of God makes. And in some sessions, we'll say at the end, well, let's pray together. But other sessions, they're like, you know, I've given you some tools here that are proven mental health and wellness tools. Now, we have an incredible tool for those listening. If you need a safe place to share about any struggles that are coming up, you know, Deborah's issue of PTSD came out 2 years after the event she'd experienced, that very significant health challenge. And so if you're feeling triggered right now, even, that's an invitation to deeper healing. God may want to peel back a layer and bring more healing to you. So we want to encourage you to call our prayer lines, 1-866-273-4444. Our prayer partners are trained. They know how to give you other resources as well, right? For counseling resources, for all kinds of different experiences you may be having right now. And, you know, they are a safe place to land with, you know, the first time you may be opening up about something, as well as it's an anonymous prayer line. I think that's important, Mark, to remember.
And we always like to say, you know, make prayer your first response, not your last resort.
Yeah.
It never will ever, ever hurt to start with prayer. And then if professional counseling becomes available to you to come alongside that prayer, that is just a beautiful thing. That's a very appropriate thing for you to walk into that kind of a counselor relationship. And obviously, we always feel that the Word of God that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit is so life-giving, yes, and can speak peace into your situation. And we know we serve the God of peace. And, you know, you're looking for peace. Look to Jesus. He is peace. He is hope. He is love. He is light. And he wants to come into your situation, come into your life, come into your emotional being, and help put the pieces back together and make you whole again, because that's how he created you. That's how he originally intended you to be. And you're never too broken for God to put the pieces of your life back together. Never, ever believe that. That's a lie from the enemy of your soul, that you're too far gone. Never, ever is that the truth. God came so that you can have life and have it to the full.
Amen. I love it, Mark. And you know, it just starts with saying, Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, let's start this journey.
Yep, that's right.
And we've seen so much healing, haven't we? So many of the stories we tell, incredible, incredible stories of healing and hope and triumph, because Jesus was invited into that situation. Well, we just want to encourage you to stay tuned into us. We're enjoying journeying with you guys, and there's so much more journey to come. Journey of hope, journey of peace, journey of experiencing God's love. And until next time, we are your 100 Huntley Street podcast team right now, Mark and Laura, and we will talk to you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.